Have you ever found something washed up on shore and wondered about its journey? On a remote island in British Columbia, novelist Ruth discovers a barnacle-encrusted Hello Kitty lunchbox containing a teenage girl's diary, old letters, and a vintage watch. The diary begins with an arresting introduction. "Hi, my name is Now, and I am a time being. A time being is someone who lives in time, and that means you and me and every one of us who is or was ever will be." With these words, 16-year-old Now Yasutani reaches across the Pacific Ocean to forge an immediate connection with her unknown reader. Her voice, sardonic yet vulnerable, reveals her intention to document her 104-year-old Buddhist nun great-grandmother's life before ending her own. As Ruth becomes increasingly invested in Now's story, the boundaries between their separate realities begin to blur in mysterious ways, challenging conventional notions of time, connection, and the relationship between reader and writer. Returning to Japan after her father's Silicon Valley career collapse, Now finds herself caught between cultures, fluent in neither Japanese nor American ways. Her classmates sense this vulnerability, escalating from subtle exclusions to methodical psychological warfare. They mock her accent, leave degrading notes, and create elaborate humiliation schemes. The bullying culminates in a staged funeral where classmates transform their classroom into a Buddhist temple, filming it for online distribution. The violence peaks with a sexual assault recorded and shared, with her blood-stained underwear appearing on fetish auction sites. Throughout these ordeals, Now develops her ghost strategy, attempting invisibility by playing dead, a survival technique that paradoxically diminishes her sense of reality. Suicide haunts the Yasutani family across generations. After losing his job, Now's father attempts suicide by jumping in front of a train, leaving the family with a 5 million yen fine for the human incident. He withdraws into hikikomori status, creating origami insects from philosophical texts he dislikes. This suicidal legacy extends to Now's great-uncle Haruki #1, a kamikaze pilot whose secret French diaries reveal his plan to crash into the ocean rather than attack American ships, a moral refusal to take other lives. Now herself contemplates suicide, idealizing jumping from the same Pacific cliff where her great-uncle crashed. Yet the novel shows how this cycle might be broken through connection. When Now's father discovers Haruki #1's true story, it creates a breakthrough. "Ikiru shika nai," he declares. "We must live. We have no choice. We must soldier on." Old Jiko serves as the novel's moral center, a 104-year-old Zen Buddhist nun with a radical past as an anarchist and feminist with many lovers. Once a groundbreaking novelist, she took Buddhist vows after her son's death as a kamikaze pilot. Despite her frailty, Jiko possesses profound spiritual strength that transforms those around her. During Now's summer at the mountain temple, the old nun imparts wisdom through daily practices. She teaches Now Zazen meditation, instructing her in thinking, not thinking. When Now attacks ocean waves with a stick, Jiko uses this futile exercise to teach about non-duality. Surfer, wave, same thing. A person is born from deep conditions of the world. Her philosophy that up, down, same thing, challenges binary thinking. She explains that a single day contains 6,400,980 moments, each an opportunity to wake up and choose beneficial actions. Through Jiko, Zen Buddhism emerges not as abstract philosophy, but practical wisdom for navigating suffering, showing how to maintain compassion even amid historical trauma and personal loss. As Ruth becomes immersed in Now's diary, strange phenomena begin to manifest. She dreams vividly of the old nun typing Zen koans on a modern computer, an impossible temporal contradiction that nevertheless feels real. These dreams become eerier when phrases from them mysteriously appear in previously unread sections of Now's diary. When Ruth reaches what should be the diary's conclusion, she discovers the final pages have gone blank, as if Now's existence is getting shorter, time slipping away from her page by page. Ruth experiences what she terms temporal stuttering, a paradoxical sensation where time simultaneously rushes forward and lags behind. She begins to wonder if her reading might be more than passive consumption, perhaps somehow reaching backward through time to affect Now's writing process. The novel explores this possibility through quantum mechanics, particularly Hugh Everett's many worlds interpretation that reality branches into multiple parallel universes. This framework offers a scientific basis for how Ruth's reading might be creating or accessing an alternate reality where Now survives her documented suicidal intentions. The Pacific Ocean serves as both physical connector and metaphor in the story. It carries Now's diary 4,000 miles to Ruth, showing how water-like stories and human connections transcends boundaries. The ocean's gyres, which form the Great Pacific Garbage Patch, illustrate how objects, ideas, and lives circulate to unexpected destinations. The 2011 Tohoku earthquake and tsunami provide historical context while demonstrating nature's power to disrupt human narratives. Ruth theorizes that Now may have been at Jiko's temple during the tsunami, her diary preserved in plastic bags. Japanese mythology enriches this through the earthquake catfish, Namazu, whose movements cause earthquakes but also force wealth redistribution for rebuilding. A time being is someone who lives in time, Now writes, drawing from Zen Master Dogen's teaching that time and being are inseparable. We don't exist in time, we are time itself, constantly flowing. This challenges Western linear conceptions of time as external. Instead, time is something we embody through attention. Ruth notices how time interacts with focus. Hours vanish like waves during internet searches, while fractured attention leaves moments suspended like particles in standing water. Now's fascination with the word now, which sounds like her name, embodies this philosophy, as she once tried capturing the exact moment when now became now, only to discover that saying the word destroys its meaning. In a universe where time folds upon itself and oceans carry messages across vast distances, perhaps the most profound connection remains the one between writer and reader. Now's diary, Haruki's journal, Jiko's novels, and Ruth's memoir all represent attempts to preserve experience through language. As Oliver tells Ruth, words come from the dead. We're just borrowing them for a while, bringing them back to life briefly. When Ruth reaches the blank pages at the end of Now's diary, she wonders who had conjured whom, suggesting the relationship between writer and reader is reciprocal, each bringing the other into being through storytelling. Despite portraying bullying, suicide, war atrocities, and environmental catastrophe, the novel ultimately affirms the possibility of connection across time and space. As Ruth concludes in her imagined letter to Now, "I don't like uncertainty, but not knowing keeps all the possibilities open. It keeps all the worlds alive." The act of reading becomes a form of quantum entanglement, creating new realities through bearing witness to another story. We are all time beings, connected across oceans and years by the words we leave behind and the stories we choose to carry forward.